Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart. Let me share a few portions of Scripture with you in regard to this element of snow and how it ties together with so great a salvation. We prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. The slides are mentioned, the announcements are given, it's in a 3-month calendar, all giving us the opportunity to prepare ourselves to be ready for this wonderful time of worship, because that's really what it is. A memorial service. Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. And one of the ways we remember Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary is considering what the Scripture tells us, the results and the benefit of that great salvation, his shed blood. And again, tying it in with the metaphor of snow, Job writes, and his friends are trying to convince him that he is suffering the plight that he is, the loss of all his possessions, the loss of family, the loss of his health, because of sin. And Job tries to counter that by saying, no, it's not a result of sin. But in verse 29 through 31 of chapter 9, listen to what Job says. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me into the ditch. Mine own clothes shall abhor me. In essence, what he is saying there, even though he would endeavor to try to cleanse himself or to clean himself up with snow water, and the idea there is the clean water, the purest, what benefit would it be? We had sung the songs indicating that there is nothing of ourselves that we can do to cleanse our hearts. We can never remove the stain of sin. You could never eliminate the condemnation deserved because of sin. Punishment can't be lifted by ourselves. It's too heavy. The price is far too great for us to even pay. And therefore, what God did, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated, he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we sit here tonight in preparation for an observance of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And as he said, this do in remembrance of me. What do we want to remember? Well, we want to remember that his bloody sacrificial death provided us with forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. A holy God giving us, granting us the removal of, the lifting off of, the total elimination, erasing of not just the occurrences of sin, the instances of sin in our lives, but more importantly, the guilt and the shame and ultimately the condemnation of sin, because every single one of us born into this world, we're born as sinners. And the Bible says in the Gospel of John, the wrath of God abides upon every sinner already. And every sinner is already condemned. That's how we have lived prior to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone sharing with us or us reading into the Scriptures the glorious gospel message of salvation. And as I earlier said, becoming a little enamored with the snow, and ever since doing that devotional, when I see the snow, I'm reminded of what David had written. And just to give it a little more context, in verse 6 of his 51st Psalm, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
It's interesting here what David does. He realizes he cannot cleanse himself. He cannot remove or absolve his own guilt, his shame. He realizes that he is a sinner before Almighty God. You look at the entire 51st Psalm and he uses the word sin, iniquity, transgression that he has committed against God. And here he calls upon God to do the cleansing work that he cannot do. To do the forgiving of his sin that he cannot do himself. And he realizes that God has provided for him the necessary atonement, and his calling out for it and his faith in it is what is going to bring about the forgiveness of his sin and the restoration of his fellowship, his relationship with Almighty God. The same thing is true for us. If we are going to be forgiven, then we need to come to Almighty God and we need to ask for that forgiveness. We need to seek him. We need to approach him as guilty, hell-bound sinners in need of a heaven-sent Savior who would take away every sin we've ever committed, because all it takes is one sin to condemn us to hell. And so Jesus Christ came to take every single sin upon himself, and yes, even more importantly and more significantly, the condemnation of my sin. He took my penalty of hell, is what I deserve because of my sin. He took that upon himself as the sinless, pure, holy, sinless Son of God. He did that for me. He did that for you. And that should strike us. I mean, that should be causing us to, even like I said this morning, have one of those Isaiah moments when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in his holy magnificence, and he heard the antiphonal choir of angels saying back and forth, "Holy, holy, 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 holy," and he sees himself before a holy God. And the woe oracle in Hebrew is very strong. Woe is me is literally condemn me to hell, because that's what he saw he deserved. And then the Lord is the one who takes the coal off of the fire and comes and touches his lips and purges and cleanses him. You know, it just goes to show that the only one who can forgive your sin is God. If you're here tonight or you're watching us through the live stream and you're thinking that you might do whatever you can, good works, performing certain rites and rituals, or maybe trusting in a priest or some other religious leader to absolve your guilt of sin, you are deceived. The Bible says the only person who can forgive sins is Jesus. That's why he says in John chapter 14, he is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's why he said to the very religious Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you can sing these songs with meaning and you can relate to what David is writing. And even as the invitation is given by Almighty God, Isaiah chapter 1, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The early part there, he's not calling for them to do a work salvation. No, he's calling for them to manifest the salvation, the covenant relationship they have with him as his distinct people. Because born again believers, for us, we manifest our Christianity through what we do because of who we are. And who we are is sinners whose sins have been forgiven so that we can be as white as snow. Some of the properties of snow I shared even last week. Number one, you know, the weather forecasters, it's a very uncertain prediction. But God promises to wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That's certain, that's guaranteed. You know, it's interesting where they were predicting again another storm for this weekend that we're in right now. And they were predicting like 20-some inches and gale force winds and everything else. And it was the talk on Monday right after the storm, right? People are talking about another storm's coming, another storm's coming. And I'm thinking, just wait. You know, it's interesting where weathermen, they can be right 30% of the time and still keep their jobs. Isn't that an amazing thought? But God is 100% accurate because if he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, he will do it. That's why if you're sitting here tonight or if you're watching us through live stream and you've not had your sins forgiven, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you will be washed your sins as white as snow. It's a guarantee. The other thing about snow, it's an excellent insulator. Low density, low conductivity, air-filled grains preventing heat transfer from the soil. So also does Jesus' blood permanently. Because when the snow melts, that insulating property is gone. And then the soil heat continues to rise. But you know something about the insulating, the cleansing effect, the purifying of our Savior's blood upon our sin-stained soul, that is permanent. That is permanent. I remember being at Bible college, I think it was my junior year or senior year, I can't remember, but we got snow on Halloween, that would have been October 31st. And out there in Minnesota, temperatures drop, and there are times where the wind chill factor is down in the negative numbers, minus 20, minus 30. We had classes canceled one day because it was too dangerous to go out in any kind of walking, just short distances to the classrooms. But the snow kept on coming, and because it wasn't very warm, the snow remained upon the ground. We graduated, I think it was May the 9th or something, and there were still snow piles throughout the campus. But you know, eventually the snow melted. But something about the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is permanent. Aren't you glad that when you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul, to forgive your sin, he did so, and he wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and your salvation is secure forever and ever and ever. The other thing is, while a thick layer of fresh, fluffy snow totally covers the ground surface, so also does Jesus' blood fully forgive sin. You know, when I looked out today again, I was watching the birds and the bird feeder, and I saw the sun glistening off of the ice crust off the snow. You know what? The entire backyard, my neighbor's backyard, as far as I could see, the snow, except for the roads that were plowed, the snow covered the grass. And you know what? There are weeds underneath there. There are bare spots underneath there. There are mangy spots that are under there. It's sometimes unsightly, the yard that you have and the weeds that are there and the ground and the bare and all, not the B-E-A-R, but when it comes to the bare ground, it's unsightly at times. But the snow covers it all. So that when you look at it, it's like one nice blanket. The sun reflects off. It glistens. It is actually beautiful. In the same way, when your sins are forgiven and the blood of the Lamb is applied to your sin-stained heart, he covers entirely every sin that you've ever committed, every part of condemnation. He doesn't forgive and cover in part. That's why when we sing that song, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Another part about snow, since clean snow reflects most of the visible sunlight, creating a white appearance, so does Jesus' bloody sacrificial death make me spiritually clean. Because when God sees your heart right now, When God looks at your soul right now, He doesn't see a sin-stained, dark and ugly heart and soul. You know what He sees? He sees the blood of Jesus Christ covering you. And though the blood of Christ is red, it is actually, He looks down and He sees that you are as white as snow. And the idea is you're pure in His eyes. You are clean. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are washed. And you know, you only need to do it one time. You're only saved once. And you're saved forever. And I am whiter than snow now and tomorrow and every day hereafter, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed my soul. He has purified my heart. The Lord Jesus Christ has done this for me because He loved me. The Lord Jesus Christ has done that for you because He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to be in heaven. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I mean, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient enough to cover every sinner and to make everyone white as snow. And oh, I pray that you and I would fully appreciate and ever be so grateful for what the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you. Where would you be if it were not for the bloody sacrificial death of the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? That's why we observe the Lord's Supper, so that we can take moments and time in a worship service like this to never forget, to never take for granted, to never neglect it, to never be casual about it, but to ever be fully appreciative. That's why He says, well, let's read it. In the book of 1 Corinthians 11, you have the full explanation of this Lord's Supper that we're about to participate in. Paul writes, I received the Lord. That means this is what Jesus Christ has given for us as a church to do. This is what Jesus Christ has given for us as believers within this church to do. The same night which He was delivered, He was betrayed, He was handed over, He was arrested. Prior to all that, in the upper room at the Last Supper, Jesus instituted what is known as communion, the Lord's Supper. He took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it. He said, this, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Look at it. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also, He took the cup. When He had supped, saying, this cup is New Testament in My blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. In remembrance. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. One of the things that's interesting here, He takes the elements, which is the bread. He gave thanks for it. The unleavened bread that was used in the Passover meal. Now, by the way, when we participate together in this, the Lord's Supper, you are going to have that piece of bread and you're going to hold that and we're going to meditate upon it as the piano would play and as the deacons are distributing. And when they get back, we all partake together. But one thing I would encourage you to do is when you're holding that piece of bread until everybody receives, until they get back, take a moment to reflect upon the reality that Jesus Christ bore your sin penalty on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, He had you in mind. He took your sin upon Himself. Your sin was nailed to Him on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep, we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Isn't that interesting? When Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, suffering in agony, it was because your sin was on Him. He was your substitute, because who should have paid the price? Who should be the one who would bear the penalty of their own sin? You should. I should. God loved me so much, he sent Jesus Christ to do it and to be my substitute. I don't know about you, but what a great exchange that is, that you caused me to be ever so grateful, ever so appreciative. By the way, not just appreciative in my mentality, but appreciative in my behavior as well. After all that Jesus Christ did for me, he took away my sin. He took my sin upon himself on the cross. Should that not cause me to live for him? Like this morning, should that not cause me to be like Enoch, who sought to do nothing more than to please God with his entire life? Yes, it should. Now, let it be recognized and understood that when you take the bread and you have it, there's no saving grace that is imparted unto you as you participate in it, as you ingest it. I cannot pronounce when the deacons pray in thanksgiving for that which represents the body of Christ on the cross. There's nothing magical or mystical or is done to transform that piece of bread into the actual physical body of Christ. We do not re-crucify Jesus Christ all over again. As a matter of fact, all the grace that was necessary for salvation was provided on that day when Jesus says these final words, "It is finished." Second thing that we consider is realizing that Jesus Christ was made sin for us. He knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. Just think about that. Jesus took your sin upon himself so that you could live his righteousness for God. What a great exchange. All because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, shedding his blood, giving his life. But then also, after the same manner, he took the cup. So when he took the cup, he says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Now, when he says that, the juice in the cup, again, does not have any saving properties. There's no saving merit that you're going to receive by taking and drinking out of the cup. No, matter of fact, what Jesus Christ is saying is if there were not the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. So while his body became your sin-bearing on himself, the blood that he shed became your sin-covering so that you could be white as snow. What a beautiful combination that is. So he took your sin upon himself so that you could no longer be condemned. He shed his blood so that your sin could be forgiven and erased, the condemnation removed and lifted. What a great exchange that is. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he'd entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Once again, we are doing this to remember what he has done. We're doing this to recall, bring to mind the solemnity of that holy event. Doing it in remembrance of him. That's why this is for believers. That's why this is not for just anybody. You can't receive salvation by doing this. No, we're doing this because we already are saved. That's why he does say, "Examine yourselves." Dakamazo, the verb, has the idea of approve after testing. What are you approving? What are you testing? Why am I observing the Lord's Supper? I'm observing it in appreciation for what Jesus did for me. I'm observing it because I appreciate. And I'm observing because I want to be obedient. I'm submitting myself to doing what he's told me to do. I'm doing it because I love him for his love for me. Where would I be without Jesus Christ dying in my place? He says, examine himself. This is an intro examination. You're not examining other people around you. I mean, leave everybody examine themselves, okay? But he says, you take a moment. That's why when the piano plays in the background and you hold that piece of bread or you hold that cup of juice, you're taking the opportunity to examine my whole purpose in doing this, my attitude, my ambition, my goal, the reason, the worship, the praise, the thanksgiving, in remembrance of Jesus. By the way, also, he says, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death. So there is a beneficial effect, not only personally, but collectively. What we're doing as a church, what we're doing as people who are saved through Jesus Christ, we are declaring, we're making a solemn announcement by kind of like word of mouth here is by the observance of the Lord's Supper, that Jesus did this for me. So if somebody's visiting or somebody comes from a different church where they don't practice a biblical Lord's Supper, they can recognize and see, whoa, these people are doing this to declare that Jesus Christ, out of his love, did this to save souls, to redeem sinners, to forgive, and to remove condemnation of hell from all those upon whom the wrath of God is already abiding. This do in remembrance of me. Before I step down and invite the deacons to come, a couple of thoughts. Number one, as we observe the Lord's Supper, is a time of worship for believers in Jesus Christ. If you are here tonight and you are not born again, I would implore you, become saved even now by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from your sin and knowing that he can forgive your sin, and he's the only way that can forgive your sin, and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you are indeed washed whiter than snow. Number two, when you hold the piece of bread or when you are holding the cup, just remember something. This is symbolic. We're recognizing the real, true historical event that took place on the cross of Calvary. So when you hold this, and you before we partake together, remember what Jesus did for you. This is not going to save any lost soul. It's not going to wash away any sin that's already been done. We're doing this because we've already been saved. When you hold that cup, remember, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. This is what Jesus did for you. And let it be something that we recognize with both a seriousness and a solemnity and a surrender. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much. Take a moment, as the piano would play in the background, to examine yourself, to recognize the very purpose for this whole Lord's Supper. And I know we practice and do this once a month, but oh, may it never get to the point it's some mechanical exercise where it's just the same old, same old. I've been saved now for the better part of probably 56, 57 years. And every time I observe the Lord's Supper, I want it to be as if it's the very first time. I don't ever want to lose that quality of and that appreciation for and just remembrance of what Jesus Christ did. So we're going to follow what the Word of God teaches us. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who gave thanks for the bread, distributed to the disciples. They partook together. So in a moment, I'm going to ask our deacons to stand, and we're going to ask one of them to pray with thanksgiving for that which represents the body of Christ. They're going to distribute. They're going to come back, and we'll all partake together. Same thing, have them stand, give word of thanks for that which represents the shed blood of Christ on the cross to provide us with that forgiveness of sin and the new covenant. They're going to distribute, come back, and we'll all partake together. So if you're here tonight, you're not yet saved, nobody's going to look at you in any inferior fashion or judgmental way if you just let the things pass by. Or perhaps if you're here tonight, you're not right with God. Maybe there's something in your own heart that is a barrier between you and the Almighty God of glory, and that would prevent you from really being appreciative for what he has done for you because of something that's keeping that separation, keeping you from being genuinely appreciative of what he has done for you. Let the elements pass. So right now, we're going to thank the Lord for that, which represents the body of Christ on the cross, and then we'll partake together. So I'm going to ask our deacons to stand, and I will ask Alex Brock, would you thank the Lord for that, which represents the body of Christ on the cross of Calvary on our behalf?
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the sacrifice that your Son made on the cross some 2,000 years ago. In his own body, stripes we are healed. And we know that there's salvation and no other, and that it can only be through your Son's perfect life and sacrificial death and resurrection that we could have a hope of heaven. Hmm. Father, we do thank you for this time that we have to reflect and remember on the sacrifice that Christ made for us. May we be sincere as we approach it. May we praise you and thank you for the salvation that you've so freely given.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Bible says, after the same manner also he took the cup. I'm going to ask our deacons to stand. And Robert Willie, would you thank the Lord for that which represents the blood of the new covenant for us?
Dear Father, we thank you for the many promises you have in your word. Promises are fulfilled and we can hold true. Father, we thank you for Son dying on the cross for us, longing to leave heaven's glory. But Father, we also look forward to the promise that he will come again.
Amen.
To collect this church. Father, as we go our day, about our days, then we might reflect upon this fact. Be witnesses for you. Just do pray.
Amen. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, because of his bloody, sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary, literal burial in the tomb, miraculous, glorious resurrection from the grave, thank you that we serve a risen Savior. Thank you that we are saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed in glory. Our new life is found in Christ. May we go from this time, from this place, rejoicing in so great a salvation, remembering so great a Savior, reminded of the great price that was paid, forgive our sins, save our souls, remove the condemnation, transform us from hell-bound sinners to heaven-bound saints, and let us live that full appreciation for Jesus Christ. By faith, walking with you, and doing all those things that please you. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to this message from the Word of God. I do trust that it was indeed a blessing to your heart. As I mentioned at the beginning of this recording, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to enter a relationship with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've not yet done so. It is God's desire for you to know Him personally. And thankfully, you can have the absolute confidence, the full assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know God and that you're on your way to heaven. Please contact me at the church office at 908-788-2672 so we can talk directly about your being absolutely sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and that you have a relationship with God. You can also visit our website at hbcflemington.org and click on the link on the homepage at the top left corner entitled God's Free Gift. You can also learn more about our ministry by navigating the different links on the homepage. Let me also take this opportunity to invite you to attend any of our church services. Our Sunday school hour begins at 9:30 a.m. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45 a.m. Our evening worship service begins at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday Bible study, prayer service, and True Trackers Children's Ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thank you again for the privilege to minister to you today. If I could be of any further help, please do not hesitate to contact me. Have a great day.